Okay, good evening and welcome to the Wednesday, July 19th, 2017, South San Francisco County Sanitation District meeting. We have a roll call, please.
Director Nichols?
Here.
Chair Austin?
Here. Okay, will you please stand and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, that brings us to agenda review. So if, Ms. Nichols, do you have any?
No, I.
Any changes or anything to the agenda?
Any changes addressed?
Okay. All right, then next we will have our public comment. This is for items not appearing on the agenda. It's an invitation to members of the community to present comments, thoughts, suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters which are within jurisdiction of the district. Also, your comments should be limited to 3 minutes, directed to the board as a whole and not directed to individual board members. Slanderous, profane, personal remarks against any board member, staff, or member of the audience shall not be permitted. So if there's any public comment, please step forward.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker. I'm sure you've heard, I've been criticized quite a bit for doing public records requests. I am an inquisitive person, and when I am interested in a subject, I tend to contact the agency and ask for documentation. I have had great success in reaching out to Grover City, Oceano CSD, and Arroyo Grande, and had, let's just say, quick response, willingness to help me find what I'm looking for, and I thank you and please pass my thanks to your staffs. I have historically also done public records requests here at the Sanitation District. Up until Mr. Huebner came to work here, I was getting responses quickly and thorough information, and if I had a further question, the staff was amenable to helping. Since his arrival, the responses have been slowed way down. He appears to wait nearly till the 10th day to respond. That's within his right. It is not within the spirit of the Public Record Act. But at least I was getting them. I also ask of all of your agencies to receive my responses in electronic format. The law allows that if the document is already in electronic format, that is how you're supposed to provide it. Since, this is weird, but since Ms. Simpson has been put on paid administrative leave, electronic documents from the Sanitation District have been coming to my home via U.S. mail, certified mail, on a disk, where it's very simple to email me the document. The cost associated with the disk, the staff time to put it on a disk, to drive it to the post office, to get it certified return receipt, etc., is costing your district, and it's rather ridiculous. Today, I received this manila envelope. This is $4.33 to mail 2 pieces of paper. The same machine that makes these photocopies is the machine that does any scanning. I would imagine these 2 pieces of paper have been scanned and saved in a file for responses to public records requests. There's somewhere you are keeping record of what you're responding to. So It's already done in your files. This step is a complete waste of public funds. To mail this to me, certified mail, at $4.33, when a 49-cent stamp would have done, or no cost at all to email it to me, would have sufficed. Now, today I received a copy of a cease and desist letter from the Water Board. In the top corner, and I'll send it to you so you can look at it too. In the top corner, it says, certified mail, certified electronic mail, receipt requested. So they wanted to be responded
to.
Thank
you, Julie. Time's up.
Hey, you're welcome.
Anybody else?
Chris Victorine, Oceana resident. I also want to talk about the California Public Records Act. The purpose of the act is to give public access to information that enables them to monitor the functioning of government. It is a commitment to open government. I think the district is intentionally making public involvement difficult. It appears all public records requests are held for 10 days before responding. The district legally has 10 days to respond. However, the act does state that requests should not be held just because of the statutory response period. The first two public records I received from the district in March and April were electronic and they were emailed to me. My last request was made in June. After 10 days, I received an email instructing me to provide an address to mail the document to or to come down and pick it up at the plant. Mailing delays the request even further, and the public, the working public, may not be able to get to the plant. The district has stated that scanning documents takes too much time. I think we can all agree that electronic documents and transmission is the most efficient and economical way to provide information to the public. A hard copy document can be scanned and filed very efficiently and then can easily be used again. To make hard copies takes just as long as scanning copies. To complete a hard copy request requires an additional email to the requester requesting an address. The document needs to be put in an envelope with appropriate postage and then mailed. In my experience, it takes much longer to manage correspondence using hard copies than it does electronic. And I believe any time motion study would validate that. When researching similar district fees, I found that all four other districts had their audited financial statements and budgets available online, eliminating a need for a public records request. I recommend our district do the same. I did have to call the Seaside Sanitary District because they incorporate the sanitation district's financials into the city of Seaside. The deputy city manager emailed me the requested documents within an hour and a half. At one board meeting, legal counsel was asked if the district's policy of handling public records requests was legal, and legal counsel stated that it was. The district administrator is an at-will employee. Are you, the board, going to approve all of the actions that the administrator makes as long as they're legal? Is this going to be the standard? Shouldn't you have a higher standard that includes best practices and ethics? I request this item be put on a future agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Terry Clare, Oceano ratepayer. I would like to find the current budget on, I don't know where to look on the website, and I don't know who I should direct this question to, if it could be answered where I could find it on the website. Okay. I would appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Patricia Price and Rio Grande. I wanted to address the fact that we have two employees on paid administrative leave for 4 months now. And as far as I know, they haven't been given a reason for their for being placed on administrative leave. I went to the personnel policy manual recently, and I read some of the procedures for disciplining employees, major discipline. They need to, there needs to be a notice of intent to discipline for suspension, pay reduction, demotion, or dismissal. A notice of intent to discipline signed by a supervisor supporting the discipline shall be served on the employee. In another place, it says an employee may, where circumstances warrant, be placed on paid administrative leave pending a hearing. An informal hearing procedure should be done. The employee shall be given an opportunity at the hearing to show why the discipline should not be imposed prior to the imposition of the discipline. And it mentions several places, hearing. And it also, in one area, says that there should be a verbal direction to the person who's being disciplined so that they know that they're in danger of being disciplined. Then, second, there's supposed to be a written disciplinary action that states why they're being disciplined, and the employee is supposed to be able to sign that and have a copy of it. And as far as I know, that has not occurred. As far as I know, John Clemens and Amy Simpson don't know why they've been put on administrative leave, and it doesn't look like these procedures have been followed. And I would just like to have that addressed in some way by the board. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I'll close public comment and move on to item 5, which is the consent agenda. And we have the approval of warrants, approval of minutes, the meeting July 5th, 2017, and the plant operations report.
Chair Austin, I just want to bring one thing to your attention. We did distribute to you, as well as copies for the members of the public. We do have an updated plant operations report. We did get some additional data that we wanted to share. So just make
you
aware of that.
Thank you. Okay, is there anything?
No, nothing that I would care to pull or address.
I wanted to ask on the Kennedy Jinks invoice check,
yes.
$18,250.
Yes.
Can you explain what this is for?
Certainly.
How?
So over the period of time that we were looking to obtain or seeking the Coastal Commission permit, there was a variety of studies related to the permitting, the CEQA information Coastal was requesting that we had Kennedy Jenks or their subcontractor ESA perform for us. For example, sea level analysis, flooding analysis. We had some preliminary geotechnical, some flood design work. So that represents not just 1 month, to be very clear.
Okay,
that represents 8 or 9 months of work.
I see here October 2016 to June.
Yes.
Okay, great. And then?
In the future, I would suspect they won't wait as long. I'm not clear why they waited to last long to invoice it. That's why you see such a large number.
And what is the Papalias digester glass?
So that was an item that the board, we brought to the board last fiscal year. I don't remember the exact board meeting, but that was an individual action item that the board approved.
Okay.
And it's related to our digester.
Okay, well, that was all the questions I had. If you have no questions, approval of the minutes, I don't know. We can still approve the minutes with two people?
You can.
Okay. So I think before we do, I'll open up to public comment. If there's any public comment on the consent agenda.
Julie Tacker again. The question I had of Bank of the West, $895. For It's under office supplies, but it says Office Max and UPS, USPS. So that's U.S. Postal Service. Is that your certified mail? What can I have an answer to that question? Also, I noticed that the payroll is a little bit larger than it had been customarily. And kind of piggybacking on the question that was raised about your budget not being on the website and how it applies to your expenditures here, as I recall, the brine revenue was going to be about $300,000, and some of that revenue was going to come from Cambria, and they have just been put under cease and desist, so I don't know that you will be getting that kind of revenue. And really, my question is, what does that do to your revenue side of your budget? And then with regard to the operator's report, I don't see an operator here tonight to answer questions, and that's unusual. Who's acting as chief plant operator at this time? That's a question. And then, Mr. Brown just arrived. I'm glad to see you. The other question I had pertains to the high chlorine usage due to filling of backup chlorine tote, the double asterisks there. That's been on the last couple of reports, and that tells me that there's something wrong with your chlorine distribution system, and I'm curious what's going on with that and what's being done to fix it. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Can you answer any of these questions from the plant operator's report, like the high chlorine usage?
I'm not aware of any unusual plant chlorine usage. Sometimes it goes up and down. We do clean it occasionally, and usage goes up depending on the use.
And do we know where the current budget? I missed that question last time.
So, as you know, the board adopted at the June 21st meeting, there was a motion that was relatively lengthy, waited until the minutes were adopted. I've made the adjustments, but that will have to come back to the board for us to fully implement it, because there was one specific item regarding how much money to set aside for wastewater rates for the redundancy project. And our preliminary review shows there is no percentage and there is no set dollar amount. So for us to actually implement that, again, we'll have to come back to the board in final shape and form.
Okay. Let's maybe take a 5-minute break so we can bring Mr. Brown up to date what's going on. That's okay with you.
So just so the record shows, Director Brown joined the board meeting proceedings at 6:23.
Okay.
And also
PM.
For the record, the board took a short break, and during that time, the chair explained to Mr. Brown how much of the agenda had passed already and no other topic was presented.
Okay. Then we've had the public comment on the consent agenda, so we're ready. I'm ready to take a motion if someone wants to make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move we present the consent agenda as distributed, with the exception of a plant operations report, which was updated tonight.
Second.
Okay.
Ready for roll call?
Yes.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Chair Austin?
Yes. Okay, so we'll move on to action items, which our first action item is the public hearing and adoption of resolution number 2017-372 and 373 for collecting fiscal year 2017-18 annual wastewater charges and fiscal year 2016-17 past delinquent charges for the community of Oceano through the county property tax rolls. And I think we'll have a presentation from our district superintendent.
Thank you, Chair Austin, board members, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. I'm not going to read the title. Chair did a very fine job of listing the title for this item. This is item 6A. Okay, so a little background. If you recall, back in June of last year, the board adopted resolution number 2016-347 to collect wastewater and delinquent charges from the community of Oceano. Since then, district staff finished the process with the county for placing the Oceano community on the county property tax roll. The district now receives its wastewater charges via property taxes collected versus the alternative method, which we were doing prior to that, which was direct billing and collection. NBS, that's the district's billing consultant, previously retained, prepared two written reports for this item today. The first report, I'll just call it annual report, which is attachment one to the staff report today, contains a description of each parcel of real property subject to wastewater service and facility charge, and the amount of that charge for each such parcel for fiscal year 2017-18. This charge was computed in conformance with district ordinance number 2016-1 adopted by your board on March 2nd, 2016. The second report, which I'll just call the delinquency report, is attached to this report as well, describes each parcel of real property delinquent and paying past wastewater services and facility charges for fiscal year 2016-17. So the distinction is the first report is about moving forward in this fiscal year collecting wastewater charges. The second report is delinquent, essentially charges that we failed or were not properly collected or we were unable to collect, and thus we're looking to collect those through the property tax roll. These charges were also computed in conformity with ordinance number 2006-1. We do expect or hope that this will be the last year delinquency charges will need to be collected. Copy of both reports is available at the district office and a district website for public inspection. A notice of the public hearing was published once a week for 2 weeks prior to this public hearing, pursuant to Government Code Section 6066. A notice was published on July 1st and July 9th, 2017, in the San Luis Obispo Telegram Tribune. These are some of the authorities that the resolution operates under. And that resolution, actually, there's a little typo there. It should say 2017. So there's Health and Safety Codes 5471. It allows you to set charges for wastewater service and facilities. There's Health and Safety Code 5473. By resolution, the district can adopt by 2/3 majority of its members to provide for a collection of wastewater service and facility charges annually on the property tax roll. And Health and Safety Code 5473A, by resolution, the district can collect delinquent charges on the property tax roll as well. First resolution essentially would approve the report that you have before you for each wastewater service and facility charge. Request that the wastewater service facility charges be placed on the San Luis Obispo County tax collector tax roll for fiscal year 2017-18 and instruct and authorize district staff, myself, to transmit the report to the San Luis Obispo County tax collector and file the necessary documents with the tax collector. Similarly, proposed resolution 2017-373 would approve that report and each delinquent wastewater service and facility charge. Request a delinquent charge be placed on the San Luis Obispo tax collection for that particular tax year, and instruct and authorize district staff to transmit the report to the San Luis Obispo tax collector and file the necessary documents. As noted above, in order to timely proceed to the county tax roll for this fiscal year to include both the wastewater charges for fiscal year 2017-18 and the delinquent charges for fiscal year 2016-17 for the community of Oceano, the board would have to act today to meet the county's deadline of July 21st, 2017 for inclusion on this year's property tax roll. Alternatively, the board does have the option to direct the staff to consider or revise a resolution for future consideration or not proceed with the placement of Oceana community residents on the county tax roll, in which case it would revert back to us doing direct billing of the community residents for wastewater charges. Our recommendation today is that you consider and adopt both resolutions. Resolution 2017-372 to collect wastewater charges for fiscal year 17-18 on the county property tax roll, and that you also consider and approve resolution 2017-373 to collect the delinquent charges for fiscal year 2016-17 also on the county property tax roll. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, does anyone have a question? On the delinquency charges, how many are we talking?
How's that? On the delinquency charges, how many are we talking about in total?
They're here.
I have to look at the report. I don't have that right at hand. And I'm hoping there's a tally on here. So there are 12 pages in total. The total amount, which they have, is $41,309.32.
Do you know the average age of delinquency? Is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days?
Well, each of these were from, they've been a while. We tried to resolve many of them through the regular billing. We did a number of attempts to reach the folks when we were doing the direct billing. So these are really legacies. These have been outstanding for a fair amount of time.
So it's not since we made the changes?
It is not necessarily when we made the changes. When we went, there was also a lag time from the time that we were putting them on the property tax, and in the time frame of collecting it, we always look arrears 6 months. And I'm giving you a little bit of a complicated answer, but there was the time that we got it to the tax roll and the time we were finishing up the billing, and there was a set of them clearly here where folks either didn't respond to multiple inquiries, mailers that we sent out to try and get them to do. And we actually had a few that filtered in at the last minute that we did accommodate to get them to avoid having them on this list.
And if we don't approve it tonight, when would be the next time we could bring it forward?
If you wanted to do it on the county tax roll, it would have to wait another year.
Thank you for that. Those are all my questions.
Do you have any questions, Barbara?
No, I don't have any questions. I do have an observation. It seems like the majority of them owe the same amount, so that does coincide with the lag in the time frame between the actual billing period and the switching it over, which seems reasonable to me.
Well, living in Oceano, I'm very familiar with this, so I'm ready to go ahead and approve. Get this done. That's right, public comment.
Madam Chair, yeah. It's a public hearing. We need to open.
Right. I was going to say I was ready to approve, and then I'll do a public comment first. Mr. Brown. Public comment, please. Anyone interested?
Julie Tacker and I actually support the effort, and
that you do proceed tonight. What I would hope is that you maybe ask your administrator to kind of go back over a little bit further about how we got here with NBS, and just probably because he won't, but I will tell you the cost to hire NBS to do the initial survey, the assessment district, was right around $10,000. The annual charge for them to make this delinquent list and changing any names of new property owners, etc., is about $3,000 a year. That is the cheapest to have these bills collected that your district will ever pay, because now the county charges the actual homeowner about $2 per bill. This is where, when you are representing the sanitation district, the next conversation is, when will each of the other communities come to this this format? Because it's over $20,000 for Grover Beach and over $20,000 for Arroyo Grande at a charge for this district. So if you get those onto the tax roll, and I do suggest that you stagger them so that you still have the cash flow that you're accustomed to, but that conversation is next and it needs to be had.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'll close public comment, bring it back. Any more comments? Barbara?
No.
Is anyone ready to make a motion on this item?
I move that we adopt the resolution of the board of South San Luis County Sanitation District approving the report of wastewater services and facilities charges and directing the filing of charges from the community of Oceano for collection by the county tax collector pursuant to Health and Safety Code 5470 at CEQA, resolution number 2017-372.
Do we do them both at the same time? There's two resolutions, so should we vote on each one?
Madam Chair, it is fine to vote on both of them at the same time, but before the board votes, it would be important to say for the record that no one spoke in opposition to the resolutions and no majority protest exists. That provides the opportunity to proceed with the resolutions.
Okay, so before we proceed, we'll put it in the record that no one spoke against the resolution and there were no protests made regarding the resolution. So now, and if you're going to make your motion to include both of the resolutions, please.
Yes, and resolution number 20, and add resolution 2017-373.
Okay. Do you have a second? I'll second it.
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Director here, Brown?
You need to go with the second.
Okay. Chair Austin?
Yes.
Director Brown?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on to item 6B, the summer 2017 edition of the district newsletter. Do you have a presentation on that one, Mr.?
Thank you, Chair Austin, board members, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. This is item 6B. This is a presentation to introduce our summer 2017 edition of the district newsletter. I have a very brief presentation, just a little bit of a reminder. We, back in September of last year, the board approved the fall 2016 newsletter. Prior to that, the last district newsletter was published in 2013. We took the fall 2016 newsletter and distributed through our member agencies and posted on our website. This summer, staff embarked on compiling information, data, and material for a new newsletter. This summer edition, which I'm very proud to have as part of our presentation today and have for discussion includes essentially the following elements. And these are, I've mentioned these in my district administrative report, that these are the kind of things we were looking to include, including highlights of some of our major projects, such as the grit removal system, headworks improvement, and redundancy, and then be able to profile our operators. We propose to distribute the summer 2017 newsletter in the same way as done for the fall 2016 by requesting our member agencies, cities of Aurora Grande and Grover Beach, as well as the Oceana Community Service District, that they include the newsletter through their resident utility bills and that we would post it to our website. So it doesn't necessarily say it says only here, but those were the methods that we used before. We think it was pretty successful. We do the publishing and they do the distribution, and we think that's a pretty good formula working with our member agency. I've just threw up here, so if the folks in the audience, if they haven't seen it, this is really two of the pages that we have. We included pictures, relevant pictures of, well, you see our secondary clarifier. It's not where our redundancy project, but it talks about the California Coastal Commission permit approval. Picture here of the sewer bridge that goes over the Aurora Grande bridge, which we look to start soon. If the bird nesting season allows us to go early, we might start sooner than September 1st. We have a picture of our operators. We have pictures of our grit removal system and our headworks, so you get an idea of some of those new improvements as well. So today we're seeking your feedback and input on our summer 2017 newsletter, authorization to final and distribute it, similar to how the district distributed its fall 2016 newsletter. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, please. How much staff time was put into this letter?
So the load newsletter was put together between myself and Jessica Mattson, who's we have on contract, and I imagine she put in a couple hours. So in total, maybe three or four.
Thank you. Those are my questions.
Do you have any questions before we open it up?
No questions. The only comment I have is that it's well done.
Thank you. Okay, let's have public comment.
Julie Tacker again, and Jessica Mattson has a warrant for $225. I can only assume it was for this, but I could be wrong. Maybe there's another one coming. Mr. Huebner refers to the fall of 16 newsletter, and I've put them side by side. First of all, that he said it was approved in September. That's true, but it didn't go out until after the election in November. And by then, it was out of date and still had Mary Lucy as the director representing the sanitation district on it. So I was disappointed that it wasn't more current when it did go out. In that newsletter, there's almost the exact same picture of the exact same piece of equipment taking up a quarter, a half a page on this one that you're looking at tonight, when, again, it took up half a page on that one last year. It seems to me that the space could be better used, and I wish it was. The details. While I did not find typos, I did find grammatical errors, and I would like to see them fixed. The $20 million wastewater redundancy project, last figure we heard was from Alex Handlers, the Bartle & Wells associate consultant, and the project price had climbed to $21.2 million. The reference to the redundancy project in the Coastal Commission and a monumental accomplishment or milestone, the fact is that you had a consultant who told you you'd have your permit last June, the June of 2016. So it was a long time coming. And yes, you got it. And then the reference to the grit removal project
was chosen voluntarily. I think the Grit Removal Project has a little controversy about how it ended up in your settlement with the Water Board. But what the newsletter doesn't say or doesn't update us on is what's happening with the groundwater model assistance for the Northern Cities Management Area, the other $221,000 that your district was had committed to that. There's a section in the last newsletter where it says meet your district administrator, and it's a similar format where it says meet your operators. There's a photograph of Mr. Huebner, meet your district administrator. There's a photograph of some guys looking in a tank. There's no names, there's no qualifications, there's nothing specific about meeting your operators here. It's very general in nature, and I think it's disingenuous to the actual professionals that are out there doing the hard work. I think it could be better used. The last newsletter, there's a list of staff, Mr. Huebner, Ms. Simpson, Mr. Clemens. There's no reference to staff on this newsletter. And the contact now is Mr. Huebner, where it was Ms. Simpson. So there's some, I guess, just some interesting changes that really probably have some backstory that need some explanation. And there's not even one tip on what you should and shouldn't be flushing down your toilets and down your drains. This should be informative and take source control into into here to inform your ratepayers.
Anyone else have any public comment on?
Just maybe one comment. One, this is supposed to be a very positive thing we're trying to put out in terms of public outreach, things the district is embarking on, money that we're spending for the community and investments in the. And so that was the intent, and it is always our intent. In terms of the operators, I specifically got that narrative from them. That's what they wanted to share about themselves.
That's what I was going to ask. So they didn't want to have names and pictures.
I gave them the offer. It was offered. That's what they provided me, and that's what we put there.
Okay. Well, I think it does cover what, you know, as far as the people in the community are interested in and what's going on in this picture, I think is a great picture to use. It shows the whole plant, and that was kind of interesting. What you should flush and flush down. I mean, maybe some kind of little tips on how to
certainly
a place
the actually. I mean, the intent of the whole public outreach and even what I call the source control program is exactly towards that end. This isn't necessarily the last newsletter or even a brochure that we could put out. And when I arrived, that was actually one of the things we do. There's lots of entities that produce those kind of information. I wouldn't start anything, reproduce something that's not already out there. But that certainly can be for a future effort in terms of what people put down their toilet and so forth.
I think that would
be. This is supposed to be, again, an iterative or an ongoing process to educate and inform our public, our ratepayers.
Done very well. So I don't know if anyone has any other suggestions, but I think it's...
I have a question, if I might, sure. Madam Chair. I just have one question. Did you proofread this document before it went out?
It hasn't gone out yet.
Well, it has not gone out, so if
so
there...
Have you proofread it before tonight?
Sure. There's...
Are you comfortable with it going out in the form that it's in right now?
Is there something specifically you think...
I'm asking you the question.
Well, I certainly will take a look at it, and yes, I am comfortable with how it's represented here today. If there's values, for example, there was a question about the amount in the redundancy project. That project right now is approximate or estimated at 20. We were asked in our applications for a different amount of money, and when it's ultimately constructed, it may come less. So I guess my point would be is, if someone were to say Gerhardt put $20 million for redundancy project, that's an approximate number, and we can qualify that in there or make changes in this newsletter. I am comfortable with the content of the vast majority of the content of this document. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for that. Thank you.
Okay, so we authorized to finalize and distribute, and you'll have it proofread again before it.
Absolutely. Again, and if there's something grammatical or if there's a typo or there's a better way, we're definitely open to making those changes.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Does anyone want to make a motion that we go ahead and authorize him to finalize the summer 2017 newsletter?
So moved. So.
Second.
Okay. We have Director Brown moves and Director...
And I'll start with Director Brown.
Yes.
Director Nichols.
Yes.
Chair Austin.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, well, now we're down to board member communications. Do we have anything from board members?
I just want to apologize for being late.
Thank you.
Nothing.
Except you took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, I think that's it. I think that we'll... If there's nothing else, we'll adjourn at 6:50. Thank you.